going on, everybody? How is everybody doing today? Listen, I know it's been a minute. We made it into a whole new year, and you haven't had an opportunity to hear the brothers the way you want, but we're back. We got some things to talk about, some things to get caught up on, and we're going to take you on this journey with us. So guess what? The experience starts right now. Once again, everybody, how you doing? You know what it is. It's your man, Craig. Part of brother, my man Mel is going to be joining us momentarily. But it's been a minute. You know, it's been a minute since we had an opportunity to really be in front of you guys, to really share with you, you know, some of the things that we need to share. There's been a lot that's been going on. I mean, even though this pandemic seems to be winding down, even though things seem to be at times getting back to normal, we'll say, I don't think there's ever going to be a normal as we knew it before, but there always seems to be something that comes back up. There always seems to be something that has a resurgence, and it causes you to get back in that mode of trying to figure things out. So it's been a minute because there's a lot of things that have been going on. We've been dealing with life. Life's been dealing with us, and you know, the holidays and all kinds of things kind of rolled around. So we really needed to kind of take a step back and do the things that we needed to do to make sure that our families were good, to make sure that we were good, to make sure that we could be in a place, in a space, especially mentally and spiritually, where we could kind of come back and give you the things that you would come to expect from us. So it took a minute, but we're back. Again, I'm going to wait for my brother Mel to come on, because this is really, you know, we wanted to be back so much that even though we didn't really have time to prepare the way we would like to, we wanted to be committed to making sure that we got back in front of you guys. And the thing that, I'll be honest with you, the thing that helps me a lot of times, because life is still going on for me. Let's keep it real. Life is still going on for me. But the thing that kind of keeps me moving is some things that I learned in my self-development. There was this book I read called The Four Agreements. And two of those agreements I just stand fast to. One of them is be impeccable with your word. So when I made the commitment to be here, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what other things might be drawing, you know, trying to take away my attention or pull me away, I made a commitment, and I made a commitment to somebody that I value. So I do my best to make sure that I'm impeccable with my word. And the other agreement that I really hold fast to is always do your best. Now, I'm not always going to have a Jordan night. You know, sometimes I might have a, you know, 6 or 7 stringer night. But I'm always going to give you the best that I have in that moment, because I really, really want to make sure that I hold fast to the commitments, and that I do everything that I can to make sure that what you see is the most authentic version of me that I have to offer you. That's important to me, because there's so many people that are out here that want to be influenced. There's so many people out here that want to have status. There's so many people out here that want to do so many things, but a lot of times they don't want to be real. I want you guys to have the real version of me. I want you guys to see that, yes, I'm going through trials and tribulations. I want you guys to see, yeah, I have my moments where I'm high. Yeah, I have my moments when I'm low. But regardless of where I am, regardless of where life finds me on that spectrum, I'm still going to show up. And that's kind of going to segue into one of the things that I hope my brother wants to talk to me about, which is how we deal with loss. Man, I promise you, it's like you had the magic button. You would know exactly when to jump on. I promise you.
Bro, it's good to be back with you, man. And I mean, I may not have a magic button, but what I do have is good timing.
Right. So you have great timing. Your timing is impeccable as always. So I appreciate
yes, sir.
But just like what I was sharing with the audience, man, is that, you know, the things that I was saying that life has a tendency to show up. And a lot of times when life shows up, it shows up at inopportune times. But we still I see the expression, man.
Yes, sir.
But the cloth that brothers like you and I cut from, we are, you know, I was sharing my reference about the book, The Four Agreements. And I was saying, you know, there are two of those agreements that I really hold fast to, which is one, be impeccable with your word, and two, always do your best, right?
Yeah.
And I get that same energy from you. So I know that, you know, you have a million and one things going on. You are always on the go doing something, making sure that you can be that man of God, that provider that, you know, that you need to be for yourself and your family, but you still carve out the time to be here for this audience. And I was saying that, you know, it's not always easy, but I appreciate the fact that we can just be our authentic selves in whatever we're doing, so that people can see we're not just on here for the 15 minutes of fame or the glitz and glamour, whatever it is that we think, you know, we can get from this platform. It's really about just taking this opportunity to pour back into people the way we've been poured into, and to share experiences to help other people not have to go through some of the things that we went through.
Most definitely, man. Most definitely. I mean, you know, it's true. Life happens, and life happens without our permission. You know, and what we have to understand is that no matter how crazy life gets, it's our jobs to learn how to manage the life that we've been given. And you don't have to have a perfect life as others would consider perfect, you know, but you do have to have a manageable life. You do have to have a life that is able to be navigated with some type of ease. You know, you may have a whole lot going on, but even in your whole lot, you've organized or you have a system by which you work. And when we do things that way, we make things a lot easier. And it makes the ability for us to keep our word much easier as well. Because now, even though I have all of this going on, I still know that this particular time is carved out for this particular purpose. And, you know, so we're in a time where you must learn how to manage the lives that you live, you know, no matter how busy they may be or how mundane they may be. There must be a system that is in place to manage your life. Because without the system, if you don't give yourself a system, society will force a system on you.
Life will definitely imprint its system on top of you if you don't stand up and say what it's going to be.
You better believe it.
And that's the great thing about it, man. It's the great thing about being able to have this dialogue, because there's so many people that when life shows up, they fall apart, right?
Yeah.
You know, I come from, you know, there's things that I fought with all of my life, and I'll be very transparent. One of the things I fought with all of my life is facing adversity, right? I came from a culture, a familial culture, that when adversity showed up, a lot of people just wanted to wait it out. They wanted to bury their head in the sand. They weren't confrontational with things, right? So I learned early on, that confrontation was a bad thing. I learned early on that, you know, or I made the correlation early on that conflict or confrontation resulted in conflict. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until much later in life that I really learned the truth. So I developed these coping mechanisms when life showed up of kind of, I was doing my Floyd Mayweather. I was kind of brushing things off. I was bobbing and weaving. I was doing everything but addressing the issue.
Right.
And the funny thing about life is it's like you can bob and weave all you want. It does not get tired. That issue will persist until you deal with it.
Yes.
Yeah. It definitely will persist until you deal with it. And unfortunately, even though we may fatigue in our fight, life don't.
You understand what I'm saying?
Seems to get strong.
Yeah. It's, I think we have to learn how to carefully construct and in some instances deconstruct our lives, you know, because there are a lot of things that maybe in our 20s that we constructed in our lives that are no longer feasible in our 40s, you know? And it's like, okay, that was good for then. Now it's time for me to deconstruct that line of thinking, that system, and begin to find out what works for me now. How does it bring out the best version of who I am now? Mm-hmm. And when we do that, you know, again, it's like a computer that has to be defragged every so often. You know what I'm saying? Because now you have too much junk information, too much stuff clogging up the lanes. And life is just like that. If we don't take the time to investigate our lives,
mm-hmm.
and then begin to see what is really needed and what is not needed, and then challenge ourselves with the adventure of doing something new. You know, it is in those areas that we begin to take control of our lives instead of our lives running roughshod over us. You know, because
I love that example you use, man, because that's a great example about how you have to defrag your life, right? You know, yeah. like stuff comes in and you know, me being an IT dude, that just resonates with me, right?
Yes, sir.
Because you know, that stuff in life comes in, it really comes in like that. And it's, you know, for those of you that may not really understand what defragging is about, you know, when information is input into a desktop, a laptop, whatever, it's placed randomly on a hard drive. It's just given like a queue, you know, so that when that information is needed again, it can be called back. But it's not necessarily put in any kind of order. And when you defrag it, you rearrange all of these queued bits of information and put them in an order that makes more sense. So they're easily readable, they're easily accessible. And the same way you can do that with your hard drive, you know, let's continue with this theme. There's a lot of people that download a whole bunch of crap on their laptops, right? And you look at their desktop, man, it'd be like 900 icons on the desktop. 900 different things. They can't find, there's a million things. They can't find anything that they want, right? Again, that's kind of how life is. You get all these things that come into your life and you just dropping them in where it's convenient to drop them in at that time. But you never go back and organize them in a way that needs to be organized. Organize them in a way that makes sense to you at that time, right? And like you said, in your 20s, when you don't have a lot of responsibility, yeah, you have a lot of flexibility to stretch here and there and look for things. But as you continue to develop, as you continue to mature, as your responsibilities increase, your time diminishes. So that time that you used to use to walk around for hours trying to find one thing, you no longer have. That time that you used to have to go back and forth with somebody, like, you know how they say right now, you know, I got time today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you get older, you don't have that kind of time today. When you get older, you know that time is meant for something else. Something that's going to make sure your household runs properly. Something that's going to make sure that your career trajectory continues on the way it's going. You don't have time like that. And if you refuse to take time to organize your life, you're going to continue to find yourself in this state of depletion. And while you can survive being depleted, you can't efficiently or effectively operate being depleted. All you're going to be doing is moving. I had a colleague at work that was talking about, he gave me this great example about a hummingbird, right? And he was saying a hummingbird that flew into his garage. Now, I forget how many thousands of flaps per second a hummingbird flaps his wings, but it's some ridiculous amount, right? And consequently, they need to consistently eat, right? That's how they keep their energy up. What wound up happening was the hummingbird got in the garage. He couldn't get it out. The hummingbird just wouldn't come out. He's trying to shoot it, just wouldn't go out. So he finally had to leave. He closed the garage. And when he came back, he saw the hummingbird just perched on this one little shelf or something. The reason it was perched on the shelf is because it was exhausted. It had utilized every bit of energy it had, and it had nothing to nourish it, nothing to replenish it. It was in a very vulnerable state. He eventually, you know, pulled it off the shelf, nursed it back, gave it some food, and it went on about its way. And that's the same thing that happens to us. We get so busy moving around like a daggone hummingbird, trying to deal with all of these things because we don't always have the best method of prioritization. So we deal with things as they come at us instead of dealing with things in an order that they need to be dealt with. And we deplete ourselves and then we become exhausted. And then those things continue to move forward because guess what? Now they have no resistance. We're not able to stop them from pushing forward, from advancing. And now we just have to deal with whatever the consequences are. It's crazy that this happens so often, and there's really a simple way to get around it, but it's so difficult to express that or explain that to people when they're in the midst of it. They're so overwhelmed with it that it's like, I quit.
And sometimes they're so overwhelmed that they panic and make the wrong decisions. You know, it really is about when you reach a certain age, it becomes about now learning how to make the right choices, the right decisions, the happiness of your life will be based upon the wisdom of your choice.
Please say that one more time. That was a shovel right there.
The happiness of your life will be based upon the wisdom of your choice.
Come on.
And if we don't take time, when you get a certain age, even though your time is now given out to so many other things, number one, you have to learn how to take time. Learn how to make time. Because sometimes, yes, you have allotted a certain amount of time to this, but you're called to make time. Because there are certain situations that arise that you didn't foresee.
Exactly.
Certain things happen that wasn't in the forecast, and now you have to call an audible, you know? And here it is. You have to make time. And I think we have to understand that we are not, time is our friend if we make it our friend.
Right.
My brother, that's something my brother always says to me. At least when I was younger, he always said it. Time is your friend if you make it your friend. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we have to learn how to make friends with time. We have to learn how to, of course, like we said earlier, you give the time to your responsibilities. You know what I'm saying? But then you have to also realize that there are some responsibilities that you have taken on that are not yours. There are some problems, some issues that you have taken on that weren't really yours. You were trying to be the nice guy. You were trying to help out. You were trying to be the bigger person. But now you're in a season where you must make sure that your time works for you.
Yes.
Before it works for anybody else, it's got to work for me. It has to work for me because I cannot continue to operate from an area of being a functional breakdown. There are people who have nervous breakdowns every day, but they have to continue to function.
Yeah.
So now they're operating from places of functional breakdowns. And every so often you'll see where, why do you do that? What, that didn't make sense. And then they'll snap back and then they get back on it. But you don't realize that you don't realize you're seeing a breakdown happen in front of your face.
Right.
Because of all the pressure, because of all the responsibility. And it's up to us. Listen. Church ain't where you learn time management.
No. No.
Not because the church will use you until they use you up. Society is not where you learn time management. Where you really learn time management is in your personal life. You have to discipline yourself in certain areas. I don't really like doing this, but I have to make sure that I set aside time to do what I don't like in order that I might partake in what I do like.
Exactly. Exactly. And you hit that word. That's why I love you, man, because we be here. We
yes, be right sir. Here.
Because yes, the word I had written down, because I wanted to make sure I didn't forget it, and I love what you said, your brother said, you know, you have to make time your friend. I'm like, the way you do that is like you said, you be disciplined. Learning to be disciplined with the other responsibilities or other demands on your life will allow you to make time your friend. It will allow you to allocate the time that you need to do the things that you have to do for you first so that you can then provide for the other people that are part of the group that you love or part of your responsibility. I liken it very much to the same way that people talk about finances, and there are a lot of people who operate from a poverty mindset with their money, just like they do with a poverty mindset of their time. There's so many times that people get paid and then they start paying bills.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody ever, not nobody, but rarely do people say, this amount of money is allocated to me first. And then the rest of it gets to be dispersed and distributed to the rest of my responsibilities. And if for some reason at the end of that list, there's not enough, then I'll make the necessary adjustments to ensure that I can continue to give myself that first chunk and meet the rest of my responsibilities. If it means I have to reduce something somewhere else, I'll do that. But everybody tends to shortchange themselves. They do it with their finances, and they do it especially with their time. And it's become a bad habit. And people often do it under the misnomer of being responsible or sacrificial. And it's neither one of those things. It's really just poor planning. It's really just a poverty mindset of both time and finance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, again, you know, we have to understand that in a world where so many people and so many things are pulling you on you and pulling you in so many different directions, you have to make sure that the priorities match your priorities. If we're not going the same way in our priorities, then you have to know that I'll get back to you. I have to handle this because this is along the route that I'm going. And I have to get to where I'm going first. And when I get to where I'm going, I can come back and get you.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes being sidetracked will bring a whole lot of side orders.
It'll cause you to forfeit the whole game plan.
Bruh, you understand. So you have to prioritize what is in my purpose. What matches what's in my purpose? What links up with what is in my purpose? If you talking about stuff that really ain't got nothing to do with my purpose, I'll be back for you, bro.
You ain't here.
Right. Because now it becomes a thing of, if I take time to foolishly deal with your stuff, then I'll miss out on the blessing, on the goal that was meant for me to attain.
Absolutely.
Prime example, there were 5 wise virgins, 5 foolish ones. And when it came time and the bridegroom came, what happened? The 5 foolish ones who were doing everything else except what was supposed to be the priority ran to the ones who took the time to discipline themselves to do what was the priority and said, we need this from you. If they would have took their time to mess with the foolishness,
everybody would have lost out.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, man. Like, we are so conditioned. There's such a narrative, which confuses the hell out of me. But before I say that, hey, Lynette, how you doing? It's great to see you on the broadcast. But this narrative confuses me. And maybe we can parse through this and see if we can make sense of it, right? There's a lot of people feel that if they take time for themselves, if they put themselves first over certain things, they're being selfish. Would you agree that you've seen that before?
I've heard that too many times to count. And it's horrible.
But here's the other thing. We also live in this capitalist society that tells you to go get yours. How do you work within that dichotomy? You're operating in a constant state of conflict because there's one part of this narrative that says, if you think about yourself first, you're being selfish, but go out there and make all the money you can get. Think about you first.
Huh? It's a paradox.
It is such a paradox.
It's a paradox that we must navigate with the tool of wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom will dictate when you should be capitalistic and when you should be more communal. Yeah. You know, there's a difference in being selfish and self-first.
Hey, I like that.
It's a big difference.
That's my next t-shirt. Self first is not selfish.
Exactly. You know? And because if I'm, the minute you look at me, you're automatically looking at whether I am a good steward or a bad steward of time, of money, of managing my life, managing my purpose, managing my demons. You know what I'm saying? You're automatically looking at all of that. And if I'm not doing a good job from what you see, then you have to know that the job that I'm doing for me is an advertisement of the job that I'll do for you.
Hey. That's what you call red flags.
Yes, sir.
That's not the challenge red flags you see on the football field. That's red flags that say go the other way.
Right. 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 So, you know, we have to really, we have to learn how to navigate that paradox, because wisdom will say, depending upon the time, it really makes sense for me to take advantage of this situation.
Right.
Because it'll work out best for me and my family, or me and those that I love. Mm-hmm. But then there are times where you can be in the very same situation and you have to pass it up and say, you know what? I can do it, but you know what? My boy can do it too. I think y'all should give him the job. Let him work this out. Because you understand that there's a need there that's not necessarily present with you.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And when we do that, that is how we begin to navigate and balance out the paradox. You know, wisdom rules the table.
There is, I loved when you used the term communal. And people, one of my favorite courses that I took when I was in school and in grade school was Latin. So understanding words and derivations, it really intrigued me, right? So when I think about, you know, community, communal, things like that, I love the understanding that it's basically a coming together of, right?
Yeah.
There are so many people that will see that word and think so many negative things and move so quickly away from it because it puts them in this mindset of feeling like, well, if I give to them, if I give part of what I have to this environment, to this culture, to this group, then I'm going to have less than. As opposed to thinking, if I contribute to this group, then we will have more of. And that's where a lot of people drop the ball. You can have all the riches you want, but if you do not have the community that can help you disperse and process those riches, you're stuck with things that are of no value. They're valuable in sense, but you can't move them in a way that will allow you to experience the value, because you've put yourself in a place of isolation. You put yourself in this place where you've made yourself so independent that you've lost all of your resources to enjoy the things that you've acquired.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm a big fan of community, and I would love to see a resurgence of it that happens not because of a war, and not because of a pandemic, or not because of some, you know, civil rights violation that causes us to have to come together. I would love us to finally get to that point where where it just makes good, dumb sense, as they used to say, that we can accomplish more as a unit than we can as an individual.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You speak in volumes, brother. You speak in volumes. You know, you can be a millionaire or a billionaire, but if you go into a certain part of town or a certain place that feels like you have not paid them any mind or given them any attention or showed them any love, you can have that $1 billion and your money won't be good there.
Right.
Or you could be a billionaire laying on your sickbed with a disease that nobody knows how to cure. You got all the money in the world, but you can't enjoy the pleasures of having it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, we have to understand that in community, what you're really saying is, I'd rather be the conduit than the object.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm the object, it stops with me.
Right.
But if I'm the conduit, it flows from me to you, to you, to you. And eventually it has to come back to me. We're living in a day and a time where society and governments and billionaires are trying to convince people that you are not as creative as you may want to be. But the truth of the matter is, every time you open your mouth, every time you speak, creation is occurring. You are a creative being. Everything about you is creative, and we are all co-creating together. We just have to choose to co-create the right things. We have to choose to co-create things that are advantageous to us, and that only happens in community. That only happens in community. Fear will strip you of your ability to work within the community. And what we see now in all of these countries, all over the world, we're seeing people stricken with fear.
Absolutely.
Who rather not deal with community, but I know it's just me and mine. And eventually, the divide, it produces cracks that our enemy can run into and take advantage of. There are certain things that shouldn't be going on right now. We're living in a country. This government has literally broken all 10 of the Nuremberg codes. If you break one, you're supposed to be put to death.
Right.
They've broken all 10. They have fed us constant fear through our TV, through our radios, billboards, constant fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, that same fear that they have fed us breaks down our immune systems.
Mm-hmm.
That same fear compromises you as a person. And now, here we are at each other's throats. And we've forgotten that, hey guys, we are brilliant. They may have thought of something to hold us captive, but we're brilliant. And you cannot hold captive anything that wants to be free.
Amen. Amen.
And whether we're dealing with the government or whether you're dealing with something that's more close to home, don't allow yourself to be bound or gagged by alcoholism, by thoughts of suicide. Just this week, we've seen all these suicides. This week and last week, Regina, what's her name, son? And Miss America, and right. Then today the young man from that TV suicides are high now because people they're losing it because they're forgetting all of this changes when I change.
And I want to interject real quick because one of the things that I want to make sure I pointed out that a lot of people may not know is the young lady that was Miss America, right?
Yes.
Now, my understanding, I don't know everything about her, but my understanding about her is, well, we know she was Miss America, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe she was also an attorney. Like she had got her, she had passed the bar and she actually had her degree. And she was also, I believe, part of Entertainment Tonight as a journalist.
Yes, she right? was.
And she was, I think, around 30 years old. And one of the things that if I understand that situation correctly, she said, I don't have a lot of time left to accomplish the things I need to accomplish. When I look at her resume just in those three areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that had done any one of those things would probably have looked at that as a lifetime accomplishment.
Most definitely.
for her to have accomplished all three of those things and still felt that she had not accomplished enough and that she did not have enough time to accomplish whatever else she thought she needed to accomplish, tells me that that fear and all those other things that, that we're just speaking of ran prominent in her life and put her in a place where her it was never going to be enough. Regardless of what she did, it was never going to be enough. And that's such a sad state of affairs, especially for somebody who had done so much.
Man, we have to be careful who we allow to program us, to speak into us, to give us advice, to say anything to, because if we're not careful, we'll fall into pitfalls of someone else's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We'll fall into pitfalls of someone else's imagining. And at 30, who says at 30 I don't have enough time? Who was she listening to? Whose advice? Who's prompting? And in that industry, when we're talking about Miss America and pageants and stuff like that, they beauty is a it's a commodity,
right?
And to them, it's a depreciating commodity because they don't see that they get stuck in the beauty of the past. And they never understand that at every stage there's beauty. The beauty at the level of 50 doesn't look like the beauty at the level of 30.
Doesn't look like it, doesn't feel like it, and doesn't act like it.
You understand? And when we understand that wherever, whatever our lot, wherever we have matriculated to throughout our lives, wherever, look for the beauty in the moment. Look through mature eyes. Look through eyes of kindness and love. And not to others first, but to you first. When you look at yourself, when I look at myself, I remember when I was younger, they used to make fun of my nose. Look at you, big nose. Ah, narizón, narizón. Big nose in Spanish, right? And I'm like, that's all right. That's all right. I have a big nose. And for me, it was a little dirty joke back then. But for me, it was, yeah, I got a big nose. But your girl, she likes it.
Oh, you want your Humpty, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You understand? Because I had to make sure that in spite of how other people viewed me through their broken lens, I'm looking at myself through a lens that has not been cracked.
Hold that thought right there. Hold that thought right there. Yes, sir. You're going somewhere. Listen. We got to take a quick commercial break to make sure these bills get paid, to make sure we get an opportunity to come back on before you. But I promise you, when we come back, we're going to pick this right back up, talking about a lens that's not being cracked.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We'll be back in 1 minute, y'all.
I feel like busting loose, I said, Shala, come on, y'all say.
If you want to create a drop, release your new song with a pop, do you need an exciting intro for your video, promote your business, products, or shows, contact us for customized digital video packages. For more details, email us at tkbsds.org@gmail.com.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you for taking the time to hang out with us today. Great to have you here with us on our first show of the year together. It's always a blessing to see my brother there. I'm glad to see you happy and healthy, brother. Listen, I missed you, man. I missed you.
Same here, bro. Same here. And I'm so glad that with all the craziness that's been going on, all the death that's been surrounding so many, that you are still here, bro. You still here, man. Listen, and that does my heart good.
I was talking to our engineer earlier, man. That was, we weren't sure what the theme of the show was going to be, but, you know, as always, God kind of put us in this place and got us in line, and we just started going because that's how he made us. We these two puzzle pieces that just seem to fit together and kind of know where the other one's going. So yeah, I appreciate you that, man. But we definitely, you know, we thought about talking about loss, but we wound up talking about life. And there's I love what you said. You know, I don't want to take away from what you were saying, because you said you mentioned looking through that lens that's not cracked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing, I guess the question for me is, there's so many things in life that are perilous that can cause that lens to be cracked, right? This life and this image we have is so fragile, right? It's like this mirror that we have that we believe our image to be is so fragile. It's easy to go through life and find something that's going to crack that lens or crack that mirror. How do we go about ensuring that even if it gets cracked, we can still find the beauty in that mosaic?
You have to make sure that you understand the first understanding that you must have in dealing with this particular question is that everything happens for a reason.
Come on.
And if there's purpose in it, then there's purpose in me, because I have to live it. I have to go through it. And so since it has purpose, I have to have purpose. And now, let's find out how I look through this lens. It's not what I'm used to, but that's all right. Because the second thing you have to realize is that you are always in the state of becoming.
So what I'm hearing you say is, and Claire, help me, you know, clear it up if I'm wrong. What I'm hearing you say is, when you find yourself in that predicament, and that lens gets cracked, when you take another look, you can put that cracked lens down and look through this new lens, because that new lens becomes your new purpose.
Yes. The new lens becomes your new purpose. The new lens becomes your new perspective. Hey. The new lens becomes your new power.
Hey, you know I'm a big fan of alliteration. Keep it going.
Yes, sir. Talking about a PPP loan, brother. You know what I'm saying? It becomes all of that. And you have to realize that sometimes the lens gets broken so that you can narrow your focus. Sometimes there was too much in the picture. Sometimes there was just too much going on, and you had to narrow your focus. And purpose will bring you to a point where at some point in life is going to be a change of perspective, a change of thought. And that means that the lens that we used to look through as children, and we saw, we believed in Santa Claus, we believed in
that God wide,
right? You know, it was just wide open.
That wide lens.
But through information, through relationships,
experience,
that lens was being chipped away at. And it was narrowing my focus. And like, okay, you know, dang, man. If I kept on hold, if I would keep on holding on to how things looked when I was five and tried to equate it to now at 35, 45, 55, 65, the psychiatrist would deem you mentally ill, mentally handicapped, mentally disabled in some way. Because you have not allowed yourself to grow. You have not allowed yourself to change. You have not allowed yourself to make the adjustments. If you do not make the adjustments, what happens? You trap yourself in a world that does not even exist anymore.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I saw that, I don't know if you saw that quote from, or that comment from Bobby.
No, I didn't.
He said, this happens to men too. He said, but we're measured by our ability to provide. He said, a woman thinking she's losing her beauty is equitable to a man losing his money. Or, you know, I'm taking that as losing his ability or his means to provide. And I emphasize that term means to provide because I like what you just said. Now I'm going to try to tie these two thoughts together. I appreciate that comment, Bobby. I'm going to try to tie these two thoughts together. When you look through that wide lens, there's so many things that you see. There's so many opportunities and there's so much information that you're getting all at once. And your focus is actually dispersed among a very wide range, right? As you continue to go through life and things start demanding your attention, you have to become focused on the things that are most important. That means that angle has to narrow down. The problem is we live in this society, like Bobby says, where there's a narrative that a man is supposed to provide, right? And unfortunately, a lot of people have tied that to a fiscal means of survival, as opposed to a man that goes out and knows how to work with his hands, a man that knows how to go out and be creative with his mind and produce opportunities, a man that can find a way to make it happen despite not having the fiscal means to do it. That is a means of provision, but society would have you think otherwise. And unfortunately, like Bobby said, there's a lot of people that look at that as when you can't just go to your ATM and show some additional commas. You know, if you only got one comma, you ain't doing enough. Or if you only got two commas, you ain't doing enough, right? There's that narrative that says that you're supposed to be doing so much more because that's the way you provide. And unfortunately, so many people have bought into that, and that has become so perpetuated in almost every facet of what we do, not just advertised media like in print, not just televised media, but in social media and every other form of media that we have. Financial prominence is being portrayed as power. Mm-hmm. As opposed to elevation, education, evolution, and the things that will cause adults to, like you said, come together and commune and become powerful. Mm-hmm. It continues to pit one against the other. You know, one person saying, what can you do for me? And the other side's going, well, guess what? I can do for you, but guess what you're going to have to do for this? And neither one of those things builds the other side. So now you have what you've created is a business contract as opposed to a relationship. And the breach happens when one person fails to either provide the means or return the services. That's not a relationship. that's not a romantic relationship. That's not a familial relationship. That's a business relationship.
How the old school people would say it, that's the pimp hole relationship.
Exactly.
And we have to understand that, unfortunately, mindsets like that will continue to pimp you.
Mm-hmm.
They will continue to pimp you. And they will send you out to all of their people to be used by them until they use you all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, man, what Bobby said was powerful, because a lot of times we as men, we do get stuck in that financial thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that we are money. What you hold in your hand is not money. You are the money. You are the currency. What you hold in your hand is a piece of paper. It's, what it's you hold in your hand.
Renewed. That's all it is. It's a promissory note.
It's a piece of paper.
Yep.
And that piece of paper has no value unless you give it value. So when we begin to understand, I'm not making money, I am money. I don't need to be employed somewhere to make money.
Right.
No. I am money. I command money. If we understood the power of providing ourselves with purposeful speaking, saying certain things on purpose every day, what I try to say every day is, I am a money magnet.
Mm-hmm.
Money is attracted to me, and I am attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a right relationship with money.
Yes.
Money loves me, and I love it. And I say these things, and I know some people like, oh, the Bible says you should say that the love of money is...
That's not what it says. We're going to go in there, but that's not what it says, and we know that.
Yeah. And I'm like, we have to understand that when we have the right relationship with ourselves, there's a level of awareness with ourselves that we must function with. When we do, we call money into existence. We command it to happen, and it shows up. And this isn't just pie in the sky theory. This is scientific. Your words literally changes matter.
Absolutely.
It's called cymatics. Speak the right things. Say the right things. That's why can't nobody tell me, well, you broke. I ain't never been broke. What are you talking about? No. That's a word that don't come out my mouth. You're broke. I say money circulates back to me.
Right.
I never say I spend money.
Mm-hmm.
You have to begin to condition and discipline yourself to work with the power that you have. Yo, we are such powerful entities, such powerful beings. The thing is, we're using our own power against ourselves.
Yes.
And we're wondering why things aren't working out. It's working out exactly how you spoke it.
How many,
exactly how you say it.
How many times you come across somebody says, see, I told you it wouldn't work.
Right.
What do you mean, see, I told you it wouldn't work?
Right.
How about, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and I know it's going to work in due season.
Right.
Until that season comes to fruition, I'm going to continue to move and watch other things be attracted to me. Because I'm not stagnant in this one place. I'm continuing to move. I speak with authority. I speak attraction. I speak things that are going to, I speak wealth into my life. Not wealth just meaning a piece of paper, but I speak wealth in the forms of various abundant favor and blessings. It could be the love of family. It could be an opportunity presents itself that I wasn't even in the running for.
Right.
But it presented itself because in my mind, I said, I am available for these things.
Brother.
I'm open to receive these things.
Man. And also, while I'm speaking that, the same person that was over there talking about, well, see, I told you so. See, I told you so. I got to put you out. You can't hang with me no more. Because your energy does not agree with my energy.
Exactly.
Your words don't agree with my words. And I can't have anybody in my circle that's going to paint me into a corner.
You know what happens when two different forces of energies kind of come in the contract and in the conflict with each other, right? We see them all the time. We call them storms,
yes, right?
We can eliminate so many storms in our lives by eliminating that negative energy.
Brother, listen, man. This is one of the biggest pieces of information I got when I was growing up. I would always, you know, sitting in church as a little kid, as a teenager, as a young man, you would always hear them preach, and they'd be talking about the storm and how Peter was walking on the water, and then he began to sink, and everybody in the boat was afraid. And you hear, and Jesus came and he said, "Peace, be still." And for years, we've heard that story, and we didn't recognize that Jesus, Yeshua, whoever you want to call him, he called the storm by name. What was the name of the storm?
Peace.
When your peace has been interrupted by outside forces, it automatically causes conflict. It causes things to go crazy because there's something there that's taking your focus off of who it truly is. And so now Jesus has to come on the scene because he realizes that y'all looking at something that you have deemed a storm, but I'm telling you, what you call a storm is really peace.
Is your disrupted peace, huh?
Yo, how many times do we see kids in school? I used to work in school. I was teaching. When I would teach, the kids always loved me because when I would look at the kids, I'm not looking at you how everybody else looks at you. Oh, Billy's a problematic kid. You know, he has issues. You know, this one right here, they'll never be nothing in life. If I looked at you through their broken lens, then my reaction to you would be the same as them.
I was about to say, in those situations, that's when I would pull out my magnifying lens and go, what is Billy doing, number one? And then with the other lens, go, why is he doing it?
Exactly. What has taken Billy's focus off of who he truly is that's causing him to act out? What is disrupting Billy's peace that's causing him to be the storm in the classroom? And when we begin to do that with ourselves, begin to self-diagnose yourself. What's going on in my life that's causing me to act out so mean? What's going on in my life that's causing me to road rage? What's going on in my life that's causing me to over-sexualize and over-sex myself? What's going on in my life that's causing me to just act out of character. When you know your character, then you're able to put yourself back into character.
And I'm glad you said that, because there's so many people that don't know their character because they're so busy being somebody and something that they're not.
Yes, sir.
Yes, so sir. Their peace is easily disrupted.
Yes, sir. It's
easy to redirect and maneuver and move them in ways that you want to move them, because there's no foundation of who they are. There's no roots.
No awareness.
There's no awareness. There's nothing. But brother, listen, we are at that time.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you for your final thought, so we can go ahead and leave these people with a blessing.
Yes, sir. Well, my final thought is this, that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. You just have to make sure that where you're supposed to be is paired up with the right thinking. When you pair up right thinking with right geography, everything works out for you. You may feel like, man, I'm in a situation where I done lost my job, I done lost everything. Then you're in the perfect place to start over and build back better, as Biden would say. Of course, we're not talking about what he's going to do, but we're in perfect positions to build back better our lives. We're creative beings. Continue to create. We are sourced from divinity. Continue to be divine. Don't let nobody trick you out of who you are. Don't let nobody psychologize you out of who you are. Have a working awareness that I am everything that I need. You know why? Because that's what I was created to be. I am everything that I need. I can create what I need. I can call what I need. I can command what I need. And guess what? Those wants come along with that as well. There's nothing that you have to worry about, because worry and fear are literally the same things. One is just positive and one is negative. Learn to choose the positive. I will not worry, but I will fear. I will not worry and I will not fear, but I will believe and I will have faith and I will have a knowing. There has to be a knowing. There has to be an awareness and a knowing of who you are. When you have that, can't nobody trick you out of that. Don't let nobody trick you out of your identity, because from that flows everything else. When you know your heart, out of that will flow the issues of life. Life will begin to be dictated by where your heart is. And if it seems like you're in a hard situation, that means that you're in a situation that's calling you to discipline yourself to better. Discipline yourself to excellence. Discipline yourself to more. Discipline yourself to greatness. Despise not the days of hard days. Despise not those times. Those times come to shape you, to mold you into a better version of you.
Man, listen, that's a mic drop moment if I ever heard one. So there's not much I can add to that, but I will say this. Remember that there's always a narrative that's going on. A narrative is merely something that's written. Make sure that your narrative is not a biography, but an autobiography. Don't allow people to write your story. You have the power, you have the ability, but most important, you have the proper perspective to write your own story. Make sure your narrative is not a biography, but an autobiography. That's all we got for you today, folks. Listen, we appreciate everybody that jumped on this show today. Thanks to Lynette, thanks to Bobby, thanks to everybody else that'll come watch it later. A special shout out to the engineer who always does a remarkable job in making sure that we look halfway decent on this program, on this platform. We love you all to death. But y'all stay tuned, and we will make sure that we see you next time for another experience. Y'all have a good one.
Definitely. Well, I guess she wants us to keep on going.
Kenny Brooks, Jazz on the Pike,
Illusion, 403 West Baltimore Pike, Clifton Heights, PA 19018. Reservations are recommended.
Hosted by Andrea M. Jackson.
How to move and feel. It can serve as meditation.